really new at this. Only been on the evangelistic field full time for 26 and a half years, and they said it wouldn't last. They lied. How many know if God puts a dream in your heart, He's big enough to fulfill that dream? How many know the older you get in Christ, the more excited you ought to get, not the deader? When I got born again January the 18th, 1973, I didn't know Genesis from Revelations. Now I have 34 and a half years of experience of what that man said the man's going to do. The man's going to do exactly what the man said the man's going to do. And there are no ands, ifs, or buts about it. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen? Yeah. How many know that He came this morning to give us salvation instead of sin, health instead of sickness, love instead of loneliness, happiness instead of despair, faith instead of fear, abundance instead of lack, prosperity instead of poverty, good instead of evil, life instead of death? Hello, are you all still here? And like Pastor said, I'm not talking fast. You're listening slow. You need to catch up. But I didn't know anything. I've got 34 years of experience, beloved. Do you think maybe the older we get in Christ, maybe we need to show the younger generation that this Jesus stuff is real? Yeah. That it's not something that we just do on Sundays. That it is what we breathe, what we live. It's who we are. It's like my spiritual birthday. A lot of Christians don't recognize the most important birthday I have is not my natural birthday. It's my spiritual birthday. That's when life got into me. Hello, are you catching it? And my whole life was changed. A new person in Christ Jesus, delivered out of the powers of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear sweet Son. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 28, royal blood flows through my veins. Do you think maybe we ought to be just a little bit more excited and not just let the younger ones show us how to do it? Hello. Us older ones need to know how to do the two-step. Glory to God. Well, I got to get on where I'm going. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. That was a freebie. That doesn't come off my time, of which I have no limit. Thank you, Jesus. While you're turning there, let me share a little insight from the Disney cartoon Dumbo. I'm sure most of you know about that little elephant with the big ears. It starts out with this stork delivers. He's got the little conductor's hat on. He delivers little Dumbo. Are you all familiar with that story? Shake your head, nonverbal communication. Little Dumbo, when he was delivered, was on the hit parade. He was number one on the block. Everybody was just rejoicing over little Dumbo. All the cow elephants with their little bonnets on, they were just rejoicing and giggling about little Dumbo because he was the cutest thing around. Until one day, little Dumbo was out for a walk. He tripped, sneezed, and blew his ears out. And at that point, he became a ridicule. Everybody put little Dumbo down because now Dumbo was different than everybody else. But the reality of the story of Dumbo is this. His uniqueness allowed him and caused him to rise above the rest. You see, if you will allow yourself to be the person that God called you to be, then you will rise above the rest. But the story doesn't just stop there, because Dumbo was who he was, because he allowed himself to be that unique person he was and to rise above the rest. There was a fire in the elephant tent, and it was total chaos. The cow elephants could not get out of the tent. They did not know what to do, but because Dumbo had that uniqueness, he was not only able to rise above the rest, are you listening? But he was able to bring salvation to others. He was able, because of his uniqueness, to get a bucket of water and put that fire out. You see, if you today will allow yourselves to be the person God called you to be conformed into his image, to be his workmanship in Christ Jesus, you'll not only rise above the rest, but you'll bring salvation to others. And if you'll allow yourself to be that unique person God called you to be, then you can walk in his divine favor. And we all know that favor of God is that awesome enabling power of Almighty God that'll cause you to sit in the presence of kings and those in authority. It'll cause you to spoil the enemy's camp. It'll cause the riches of the sinner to show up in your hand. The Bible declares that favor will cause you to do what you should not do, and if you did it without favor, it could bring death to you. The Bible says that favor will enhance the power that is in your life. The Bible says that favor will compass you about like a shield. The Bible declares that because of the favor of Almighty God, you will be enabled to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. And the Bible declares of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with Almighty God. And the story today in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse number 26, is about a little woman named Mary, who was going to give birth to the greatest promise given to any person, and she did it being a simple handmaiden of the Lord. She had no pretense in her life. She wasn't trying to be somebody that she wasn't. She was simply a handmaiden of the Lord. Verse number 26 says that in the 6 months, that's talking about Elizabeth being 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist on the inside of her, the angel Gabriel sent from God. Y'all see that? Sent from God to a virgin, a spouse to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he said, "Hail Mary, for thou hast art highly favored." How many will agree with me that this angel sent from God to Mary said, "You are highly favored." Favored. Will you agree with me? That's what it says. I am not embellishing that. I'm not exaggerating. It says that God sent the angel Gabriel to tell this handmaiden, "You're highly favored." Now she's taken back at that, like many of us, when we realize how favored we are in Almighty God. It doesn't make sense to us. She's taken back. So the angel reiterates and he says, "Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God." Will you agree with me now? Twice the angel that is sent from God to Mary has said, "You're highly favored." Will you agree with me on that? Because I want to share some realities about being highly favored. Number one, are you ready for this? She is highly favored. She has said to the angel, "Be it unto me according to your word." She's now honored the word of God. She's in the perfect will of God, and she's bringing shame and disgrace to herself and to her family. Am I communicating to you? She's highly favored. Right. I proved it to you.
Right.
She's honored God. Be it unto me according to your word. Mm-hmm. She's now in the perfect will of God, and she's bringing disgrace and dishonor to herself and to her family because she is pregnant and has no husband. You need to get yourself out of where we're sitting and jump in and realize, folks, we're reading the story and we know the end. But would you imagine her trying to tell her friends that she's been impregnated by the Holy Ghost? Even her husband, in Matthew's account, says that he was going to put her away privately as not to make a public spectacle of her. He didn't even believe it. Hello, are you catching a pin? Go ahead, try to tell your friends that you've been impregnated by the Holy Ghost. And we all have. If you're born again, if you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart God the Father raised him from the dead, you're impregnated with the Holy Ghost. And God gives us visions and he gives us dreams for a purpose, by the way. Are you catching this? Am I doing good slowing down? A little bit. But she's brought shame and disgrace. The Bible goes on and says that she flees to the hills of Judah in haste. And she's highly favored. Now she's on the lam. She's running. She goes up to the hills of Judea. And she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. And when she graces through the door of the house, the Bible declares that Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. The baby John the Baptist on the inside leaps. And then Elizabeth starts prophesying to Mary. When the prophecy is over, Mary grabs a hold of it, and she starts reiterating what God has spoken to her. The point being that when you know that you're favored, God always has somebody that understands what you're going through. Wow. God always has somebody that understands the spiritual things that are happening in your life. There's always somebody that knows what God's doing in your life. That's what makes church, by the way, so vitally important. But the story doesn't stop there. Here's this woman, highly favored, brought shame and disgrace, fleeing. And then she's got to take a donkey ride for 75 miles. And she is completely pregnant. Full term. I don't know about the rest of you ladies, but when my wife was ready to deliver our son, John Thomas, she did not want to climb a set of stairs. This woman has got to take a 3-day journey on a donkey, and she didn't need to do that. But she has to go. Are you catching the picture here? That's a little bit inconvenient, but she's highly favored.
Amen. Come on.
Honored God. An inconvenience. But it doesn't stop there. Then she gets into the city, and she cannot even get a room in the local hotel. See, I'm an evangelist. I'm a very positive person. I've been around your pastors. They know I very rarely ever, even at home, talk negative. It's just not in me. I got born again. I have been brainwashed. Out with the ugly and back in with God. Okay, you catch the picture? It's just not in my nature. I talk positive. When I preach, I'm always positive. So people think that nothing ever goes wrong in our life. It doesn't always go right. We're not always, everything is the red carpet. I mean, we were coming back from Missouri. I couldn't get a room in Joplin, Missouri. Folks, I'm not talking about just Motel 6. Because that's my last choice. No disrespect, Motel 6. But we started where we start, and we end up where we get. We couldn't get a hotel room. We were just going from L.A. to Idaho. I could not get a room. Listen, in Reno, Nevada, they had some kind of conference. Almost didn't get a room. And wherever else it was, we couldn't. Inconvenienced. I'm a man of God. Highly favored. You listen to some of these televangelists on TV, you would think that everybody always pours out the red carpet. I have a song for them. Dream, 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 dream. Things don't always go right. You can wear rose-colored glasses, but folks, when you take them off, the rubber's going to meet the road. Right. Now this lady has honored God, highly favored, and she's completely, are you listening? Inconvenienced. And she is going to give birth to the greatest promise ever given to any human being, and nobody cares. Nobody. The only great cloud of witness that she is going to have are donkeys, sheep, and goats. You've been impregnated with a vision and with a dream, and nobody cares. Nobody gives a whip. You start to share it, and they're off on their own tangent somewhere else in Never Neverland. Am I communicating effectively to everybody? But let me get through this so I can get where we're going. It doesn't stop there. Then guess what happens? I don't remember. I know it had to be something good. No, I remember. So here she gives birth and nobody really cares. And then guess what happens? God has wise men that have money. God did not call me into his kingdom to be a pauper. He did not call me to kiss your butt or beg you. He gave me dignity in my life. When I look at this part of the story of Mary being highly favored, God has wise men that will seek out the dream that you gave birth to, that will seek out the vision that you have given birth to. Nobody else might care, but God does have wise men that can see through all the smoke and all the things on TV and all the advertisement and see that God's doing something in your life to finance the vision and the dream that you have in your life. You see, that took them 2 years, those wise men, to get to Mary, to finance the vision and the dream. Because as soon as they left, mind you, this is a woman highly favored. This is a woman, are you catching the picture? Honored God, been in the perfect will of God. This is a woman now that those wise men came. They support the vision and the dream, only to have an angel say, now you don't need to just get out of the city. You need to get out of the country. You need to flee the country under the cover of darkness in the middle of night, and you're highly favored. She is now completely inconvenienced. Not a 75-mile donkey ride. A 200-mile donkey ride. Hello. It's going to take her a couple hours to get that one done. Are you all watching how her donkey frequent miles are starting to add up? And she's highly favored. Gave birth to the greatest promise given to any human being. You want to talk about being a powerful witness? Are you ready for this? We're supposed to be blessed to be a blessing. And that is true. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Understand that. This woman's blessed to be a blessing. Highly favored. Honored God. In the will of God. And guess how much influence she had in her neighborhood. Everyone that had a child 2 years and under was murdered, destroyed, and lost because she is highly favored. She's now a carrier of the bubonic plague and blessed to be a blessing. Because see, we're always told we're supposed to be such a divine influence. Mary's highly favored, but everyone that had a child 2 years and under, those children were murdered because she is highly favored. Am I communicating effectively to anybody? Y'all getting this? The first evidence, any kind of evidence, that promise given to her was real was when Jesus was 30 years of age. And it was at the marriage of Canaan in Galilee. 30 years. She has not seen any miracles. And miracles were not part of the promise, by the way. What was the promise? The promise was, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, mention of one miracle. But that you're going to give birth to a son. His name shall be Jesus. He shall be the Savior of the world. Didn't mention one miracle. But there's been nothing happen. You said, Jay, but at 12 years of age, he baffled the doctors. A lot of kids do that. Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to tell you something. Huh? The first miracle is, you find it, is at the marriage of Canaan in Galilee. And Mary goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, they have no wine. Jesus says, what is that to me? I like mothers. They are cool. She just totally, completely ignores Jesus and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Nike didn't come up with that saying. Mary did. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. See, Mary knew that worked because 30 years prior, she said, be it unto me according to your word. Let's just do it. You catching this? And then Jesus turns water into wine. That's the first miracle. This is a freebie, has nothing to do with my message, okay? But it's important. The first miracle that Jesus ever did had nothing to do spiritually. Now, you can spiritual analyze it any way you want, but it was a miracle of luxury. They did not need the wine. It was saving face for the bridegroom. Do you think maybe God knew that 2,000 years after Jesus was crucified, we'd still have a problem with being spiritually blessed, physically blessed, financially blessed? That the first miracle he had to do with prosperity? Turning water into wine, and the best wine. Are you catching the picture? That was the first miracle. Well, some people like to spiritualize and say that's the born-again experience. You can say that if you want. That's cool. I don't really care. But you cannot deny the miracle. And that turned water into wine. And that's the first miracle. He didn't give people eyesight. He didn't give them new limbs. What did he do? He turned water into wine. They didn't need it. But he still provided it. That's a freebie. You're catching this. Now she watches Jesus. She's an eyewitness of Jesus doing wonders and miracles for 3 years. Mind you, that was not the promise. The promise is of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And all the spiritual leaders have rejected Jesus Christ. And now she's going to witness the greatest setback that she could ever witness. And it's going to have hellacious results in her anguish. Because she's going to see her promise, her vision, her dream, the word given to her, her little boy, her child, her son, hung on a condemned man's tree. Then she's going to see, after she hears, and I'll come back to what he said in just a moment, she's going to see her vision die. The promise die. The word that God gave her die. Her hope, die. Am I communicating? Because some of us are there. But listen to the words that Jesus spoke to Mary. Please listen. He said, woman, behold your son. What was the promise? And a son shall be given unto you. A what? A son. He was saying, don't look at the tree. Don't look at the grave. Don't look at the death of the vision. Do not look at what's going on in my life. Remember the Son. Remember the promise. Remember what I'm going to do. And after 3 days, hell, death, nor the grave could hold Jesus Christ in the belly of hell, and the promise bolted out of the belly of hell, victorious over hell, death, and the grave. It does not matter what your vision is, what your dream is, what your hope is, what your word is. As long as He is Almighty God, He will bolt out of the belly of hell with your vision alive. He'll bolt out of the belly of hell with that promise. He'll make that word reality in your life, and it doesn't matter how dead it may appear in your life. Are you all getting something out of this? Am I doing okay yet? Let me share 5 things. I call them 5 jests, and then I'll be done in 2 more days. That was a good place for you all to run around. Because some of you are at a place you've been wondering and asking yourself, well, it's not working. It's dead. Well, there's a resurrection of the vision in you today. There's a resurrection of the Word of God that you have lost on the inside of you. Behold the Son. You remember the Word that God gave to you. That man is big enough to back up that Word. I've been in this thing for 34 years. That man is able to do everything that man says that man is going to do. And there are no ands, ifs, or buts about it. He will do it. Time's going to pass. Why don't you and I pass it following Jarrett and sing those wonderful, glorious songs? That was awesome this morning, by the way. Are you all catching the picture and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let me share 5 simple things with you. They're going to help you. Are you ready for this? Number one, just be who you are. Amen. Just be the person God called you to be. Stop trying to be something you're not. You want to talk about a dysfunctional family? You ought to look at my family. I'm a cowboy. That is what I am. I've been working with, you know, the Western world for over 28 years. This is me. I'm so glad I get to be me. Did you look at my wife? She is Mrs. Contemporary. And my son is a rock musician. We don't even look right. We're all messed up. But we are who we are. I'm a racehorse. You want to motivate me? Beat me with a stick. I love pressure. That's who I am. I love what I do. I've got a lot of adrenaline, a lot of testosterone. I'm woo, glory. I'm very aggressive. What? Did I say something wrong? I do. It's a man thing, okay? I mean, I'm very aggressive. I love this life. I don't have a feminine side, by the way. They're always trying to get me in touch with it. If I want to be in touch with my feminine side, I will walk over and touch her. All you have to do is read the 2nd book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. And God said, dude, go to sleep. And while he's asleep, he jerks woman right out of him. It was a clean sweep. That's why we are what we are, gentlemen. I didn't give up my masculinity to be a Christian. Men like to fight. We like to bang our heads. That's why I have a hard time with religion. They want me to walk around like Tinkerbell, like a little fairy. Hi, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, isn't Jesus well better than Mattel? Oh, hi. I don't fit that, folks. I'm a racehorse. You want to motivate me? Beat me with a stick. My wife is a turtle. That's not a derogatory statement. That's 2 different species of being. Now, the stick that you beat me with to motivate me, go ahead, beat my wife with it. She'll suck in 4 legs, 1 head, 1 tail, and say, beat sucker, I ain't moving. And religious people have been trying for 34 years. They're so stupid, they should just give up. Trying to calm me down. It ain't gonna work. My wife will tell you, I run in my sleep. I'm always on the go. I like this high adventure of faith. I dig it. I'm glad God called me to do what I do. Are you catching the picture? But they're always trying to slow me down. Calm me down. Jake, can't you calm down just a little bit? I tell them, no, can't you get a little bit more excited? You got like rigor mortis. Some Christians, they walk around, you can tell they're Christians, they got bumper stickers all over them. And then talk to them. I mean, it's death personified.
Are you a Christian? Yes. You got the Holy One on the inside of you? Yes, brother.
You're born again with the life of God?
Yes, brother.
You got it?
Yes.
I don't want it. It looks infectious. I like being who I am. I'm not your workmanship. I'm his. By the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, I am who I am. They're always trying to slow me down. Now, my beautiful wife, you need to understand, when we fight, for example, I fight, she referees. It took me 2 years after we were married to find out her middle name. Have you ever watched these prophesiers? I mean, yeah. Thank you, Pastor. They speak like Pee Wee Herman at the restaurant. And then they'll come up to my beautiful bride, and they got a demon voice. And they'll go, God, I want you to come out of your closet. Anybody know what a closet is for a turtle? It's called the shell. Take her out of her closet, out of her element. What are they trying to do to my wife? Kill her. What are they trying to do to this racehorse? Kill him. Be who God called you to be. Abraham was an idol worshiper. Moses stuttered. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. Peter was a fisherman. Jacob was a jerk. Just be what God called you to be. Like David. Here's David. It's a wonderful story. Remember, David's going to face Goliath. He's going to take on Goliath. And this is another freebie. But he goes before Saul. He said, let no man's heart fail because of this uncircumcised Philistine. I'll take that sucker on. I took on a lion. I took on a bear. This dog's coming down. And then it says this. It says that Saul armed David with his armor. Right. This is a freebie. Are you ready for this? Do not choose to use what caused someone else to lose. If that armor was so good, why didn't Saul use it to go whoop on him? You don't have to be very bright to understand drugs kill people. You don't have to understand alcohol kills people. You don't have to understand a lot of that. Why do we want to choose to use what's causing someone else to lose? So they handed it to David. We've all made that dumb mistake. But they gave it to David, and David put it on. We've made dumb mistakes. But David was smart enough to put it off and fight Goliath, who he was. Are you catching a picture here? With a little loincloth and a slingshot, he took that sucker down. And guess what happened when he did? Oh, I shouldn't have said that, because I'm going to tell you so you can't guess, okay? As soon as he whooped Goliath, the Bible says all the other Israelites chased all the other little Philistines. See, when you stand up and be counted, be the person that you are, that God created you to be, you're going to have divine influence. And others will follow suit. Others will take down their little problems. They'll take down their Goliath because you stood your ground and watched God turn it around. Number two, just because it's never been done before doesn't mean you cannot do it. Right? Why don't you be the first today to do something no one else has ever done? There's going to be another mountain to climb, another river to forge, another ocean to cross, another business to start. Are you all catching the picture here? There's always something else out there for you and I to reach out and take it. Just go for it. Just because it's never been done before does not mean that you cannot do it. Doesn't matter how lofty that dream might be. Doesn't matter how big it might be. I like to look at Abraham. I mean, we can go back and look at all the first in the Bible, you know, with Noah and his ark. But I like Abraham. At 99 years of age, he is dead in his body. Sarah is dead in her womb. And God, the third time, says, you are going to be the father of many nations. The cat's 99 years old, folks. And he says, your name's no longer going to be Abram. It's going to be Abraham. And this is what you're going to do for me. I want you to go cut all the foreskins of off all the males in your camp. Do you know how old Abraham was? 99 years old. Have you ever seen a 99-year-old with a knife in their hand? Am I communicating effectively? He's 99. Hey, boys. My name used to be Abram. Loser. Now it's Abraham, father of many nations. Drop your drawers, we're tooling. That's kind of lofty. Will you agree with me on that? Some of you are sitting there going, Hail Mary, full of grace. How'd I get in this place? That's a lofty dream. But you and I are benefactors of him having a lofty dream. Who said your dream's too lofty? Who made somebody else God in your life besides the King, the I Am himself? Have a lofty dream. I've taught my son since he was younger than young, his son, shoot for the stars, because if you miss the stars, at least you'll hit the moon. But if all you do is shoot for the moon, you miss it, you hit the back fence. Go for it. Hello. Some of you will catch that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Just because it's never been done before doesn't mean you can't do it. I like reading Joshua chapter 10. The Gibeonites have cut covenant with Joshua, and it wasn't the right way they did it. They did it with unscrupulous means, kind of like us. You catching the picture? We didn't deserve it. Gibeonites didn't deserve it, but they got a problem. Guess what they did? They called on their covenant partner. Just the same way that you and I can. Five kings are coming against them. They call for Joshua. They said, Joshua, come out here and help us. Joshua starts fighting, and the sun starts going down. The moon starts going up. Joshua chapter 10. And guess what Joshua does? He says this. He said, sun, stand still. Moon, don't. Verse 14 says this, there had never been a day like that before, and there will never be another day like it since. See, doing something no one else has ever done. Go out and be a pioneer. Do something different. I like that. You're all too quiet. Maybe we need to march around the building in the rain, singing Jesus Loves Me to the tune of Bridge of the River Kwai. Get you a little bit wet. Get you some stains on you. Cowboy hat I wore in the rain today. That's my rain hat in cowboy. It's stained. I like that, Pastor. I'm walking out of the church today stained. I'm walking out a little bit different. I'm going to have a swagger. I'm going to look like John Wayne, the Duke himself. Because his boots always killed the bad guy. You ever notice he shoots the guy with 30 rounds of ammunition and the bad guy's laying on the ground reaching for the gun, and then John walks over and steps on his foot and he dies. On his hand and he dies. Get a new swagger out of the deal. Just because it's never been done before doesn't mean you cannot do it. Just do it. Amen. Number three, just because everything's going wrong doesn't mean that you're not highly favored. I'm highly favored regardless of nothing. Because my father said so. That's why you can sing Zippity-Doo-Dah. That's my favorite church song. Oh, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulders. It's actual. It's factual. It's satisfactual. That's a new song for you, Jarrett. That's why I can sing my second favorite church song. You want to hear that one? Question is, are you grown up enough for it? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? The big bad wolf, the big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Not me, not me, not me. My Jesus set me free, so I'm free, free, free. Woo, glory to God. Leave me alone. I'm happy this way. I've already told you number four. Y'all want to hear number three? Okay, everybody else, close your ears. I'm going to tell this young lady right here. I feel good. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Woo! I knew that I would now. Woo! Glory to God. So good. Oh, yeah. I second that emotion. See, just because everything's going wrong doesn't mean that you are not highly favored. Look at Joseph. Genesis chapter 37. He's highly favored. His father gives him a coat of many colors. Gives him a vision, gives him a dream, and he's sold into slavery. Does the righteous thing and flees from a woman that wants to shack up with him. He runs so fast, leaves the coat behind. She yells rape. He ends up in the inner prison. And he's highly favored. But after 13 years, the word that God gave to him became a reality. It doesn't matter what things look like. You're still highly favored. Number four, Just because it may appear that you're in sin doesn't mean you are. Mary looked like she was in sin. Abraham goes to offer up his son Isaac, a living sacrifice. Can you imagine the headlines on that deal? Looks like he's in sin, but he's honored God. Y'all getting something out of this? Let me get it closer to home. You read the word. You made a choice that you are no longer going to borrow money. You're going to be debt free. Right? The master charge is no longer going to be in charge. The master is. And so you make that step because you're honoring God's word, and then everything goes to hell in a handbasket. You're so poor now you can't even afford to pay attention. It may look like you're in sin, but you just honored God. It's not that decision you made that caused the problem. It's all the ones you made way before that. So it may look like you're in sin, but you're not. You've honored God. Number five, just because it doesn't look like it's going to happen doesn't mean it won't. Noah was in the ark for over 1 year, not 40 days. 1 year. Can you imagine being locked in that ark for 1 year with one window straight up? Some of you haven't caught it yet. How would you like to be locked up in a boat with no plumbing and one shovel with one window over three stories high? Am I doing okay? By the way, it did stink, but it was the only thing afloat. The church may stink, but it is the only thing afloat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. They were in a burning fiery furnace for a few minutes or an hour. I don't know. Daniel spent all night with a bunch of lions. Joseph waited 13 to 17 years. Moses, 40 years. Jacob, between 14 and 21 years. But the one I really like is a story in 2 Kings chapter 2. That's the story of Elijah, a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Elisha, a type of a true believer. And Elijah says, "What do you want?" And Elijah, the believer, is gutsy, brazen, bold. How many know we have boldness now? To go into the very presence of God and make all our requests known. He says, "I want a double portion of your spirit." Elijah, type of the Lord, says back to him, "You've asked a hard thing, not impossible." He says, "Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be on to you." And then the two walked on together. Don't get discouraged because God says you've asked a hard thing. Just keep walking with the man. He walked so close to Elijah that the Bible declares that a chariot of fire came out of heaven. For what purpose? Not to take Elijah up, because he went up in a whirlwind. Then what was the chariot of fire for? To separate Elijah from Elisha so Elijah could go up. And the moment that separation happened and Elijah went up in a whirlwind, guess what Elisha did? He went, "I saw it! I saw it! That's mine! That's mine! Glory to God, the horseman of God, the chariots of fire! That's mine!" He didn't get a little bit tippy-toed. Oh, praise the Lord. Got a little bit excited. Because what was the promise? If you see me when I'm taken from you, if you see me, all you got to do is open the pages of the book. If you see me when I'm taken from you, you shall have it. He saw it, walked over, picked up the mantle, smit the waters, and they parted. Now, here's the point. Just because it doesn't look like it's going to happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen. When Elijah died, he had seven major miracles in his life and ministry. When Elisha died, he had 13. How many know God never misses by one? 7 times 2 is not 13. Unless that's new math. God can't lie, folks. He said a double portion. But you have to read the next chapters where there's a war going on. A young man dies in the field. Two of his buddies are going to pick him up, but they're running from the war. So they ain't going to bury him, or they're not going to bury him. They throw him into an open tomb, which just happened to be the tomb of Elijah. And the moment that dead boy hit them live bones, he was raised from the dead. 14 for 14. Are you catching the picture here? Just because it doesn't look like it's going to happen doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Number one, just be who God called you to be. Can you do that this morning? Can you stand up, spit in the devil's face, and tell him, I'm God's workmanship, and give him high five? You'll catch that later. Aren't I cute? Number two, you finally laugh. Thank you. Oh, okay, I got somebody finally laugh. Oh. I think I'll say that more often. Write that down for me, baby. Aren't I cute? Number two, just because it's never happened before doesn't mean you can't do it. Maybe your family's been cursed with sickness and disease. Why don't you be the first one today to walk out of it? Amen. Set a new precedent in your family. Bury sickness and disease. Maybe you've always been tormented by poverty. Why don't you stand up today and say no more in the name of Jesus? Or you've been tormented with divorce in your family and children running. Why don't you stand up and do something different this morning? Just because nobody before you ever did it doesn't mean you cannot do it. You can go get that college degree. You can go and get that job. You can become that entrepreneur. You can step out of the boat and walk on the water. And when you're stepping out, you might as well flip the sucker over and get everybody swimming. Right? You can do it. Just get up and do it. That's why we need to cheer people on. Don't be their judge. And if they, like Peter, they begin to sink, just be there to pick them up and tell them it's okay. You're going to make it. Amen. Number three, just because everything's going wrong doesn't mean that you're not highly favored. Number four, just because it looks like you're in sin doesn't mean that you are. And number five, just because it doesn't look like it's going to happen doesn't mean that it's not going to happen.